This will be Steve Lowe and the Seattle Electric Vehicle Association in 3, 2, 1. Well, if you thought you were alone, you're not now. I'm Jim Campman, and with us today is Steve Lowe from the Seattle Electric Vehicle Association. And if you can make a lot of options, starting out with WW Links Galore as a convenience and maybe a necessity, actually, as our topic today is layered and complex. You could also visit www.eaaev.org. Again, lots of links to individual projects and causes. Thanks for coming in, Steve.
Well, thank you for having us.
Would you say your biggest ambition today is to educate, to inform, to... Because you're starting with a clean hard drive right here on this side of the
right. Table. Well, it's funny you should mention those two words. Our motto and our club, which I coined many, many years ago, is educate, demonstrate, and proliferate.
Can we do that today?
We're going to try our best.
That's cool. Yeah. I really appreciate you. Where do you start with this subject?
Well, I know. It's so wide open. Maybe just a brief history. You know, in the turn of the century, most people that have looked into this a little bit know this, but at the turn of the century, there were more electric vehicles on the road than gas. Also, Henry Ford's own wife drove an electric because she preferred it. And why? Because she didn't have to get out there and crank it to start it. Yeah. Now, about 15 or 20 years after that, the electric starter actually helped kill the popularity of electric vehicles because technology and batteries and controls and things weren't as they are today. And so when the gas car got an electric starter and ladies could drive it or anybody just pushed a button, well, the popularity of electrics went down. And as the roads got bigger and bigger, the range of a gas vehicle got greater and greater in the speeds. And so not until the last 15 or 20 years have the electric vehicles been catching up with the gas cars. And I know we don't have video radio here, but we were pleased to show Jim just moments ago a picture of a battery-powered Mazda beating a Viper V10 in a quarter mile. What do you think of that?
Which did my heart good, okay? I've never been a muscle car guy. I drove a 53 Rambler all the way through high school, and I was happy with that, okay? All my friends had, GTOs, and they had hot cars, and, Novas, and Vets eventually, and all that. And I've really just been kind of, I just want to get from here to there in the car. That's the kind of guy I am. So I'm like way excited about electric cars making advances and coming on and possibly becoming an option in the marketplace.
Yeah, let's talk about that. I've been at this for 25 years now, since our little GM dealership was selling electric cars off our showroom floor in 1980-81. And I got involved with the local club and became their president and held rallies. I remember one of the first rallies was very exciting. The Queen of Seafair, pretty gal, had the green flag. Mm-hmm. My wife had made the graphics that we spread around town and posters. We had the cars from California, Oregon, Vancouver, and Seattle. And I think the winning car that year went something like 80 miles, and the next year was over 100 on one single charge. Now, mind you, the average distance traveled by the average person who starts up a car in any major city coast to coast is something like 35 miles. Well, a Feeble built in your own garage, in your alleyway, home-built electric car with about $1,100 worth of low-tech batteries can do that every day, day in and day out. So the question, it begs the question, why aren't there hundreds of thousands of electric cars out there?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. All you got to do is look at that slick advertising from Madison Avenue that the major seven automakers put out, and golly, that's got young kids by the you know what's. I mean, even my own son now would rather drive his red Mustang than I've been asking him to tear out the V6 and put some batteries in it. But
what does he say to that? Does he even give that the time of day, Steve?
Not really.
Not really. And it's because he's having a love affair with his car.
Yeah.
Just the way it is.
Yeah. But, okay. You know, a lot of these people in our club, I would say more than half, are also having a love affair. And it's a different kind of a love affair. I can describe it as going along Lake Washington Boulevard on a sunny day with the sunroof back and hearing this low hum, like maybe listening to a vacuum cleaner about two blocks away. And all you can hear is the birds and the wind going by. It's a whole different ego trip, you know?
Kind of like the difference between a sailboat and a hydroplane?
Yes. Oh, okay. You've got it.
All right. Well, we're in Seattle.
You're right.
How realistic is it, though? I mean, I can understand where, you know, the younger generation could be all testosteroned out on all the muscle cars. Okay?
Right. Right.
How realistic is it to come up with electric cars that say, okay, well, let the guys in high school alone. Let's look at maybe grade school. Let's try to win their hearts in kindergarten. Are there cars that, you know, that people younger are embracing so that eventually when the high school of today becomes
right
later on?
I think you've hit on something there. And when we take our show and tell to grade schools and even middle schools, that's where you see the eyes light up. There is a class of racing called electrotron racing. Mm-hmm. And I guess I would describe it, since we don't have the video radio here today, as a kind of a little bigger than a soapbox derby racer.
Okay.
And each car only has two 12-volt batteries, usually about the same size as in your car.
Yeah.
They race around a closed circuit, and the person who goes the furthest in 1 hour wins. And there are hundreds of high schools coast to coast involved in this electrothon racing. And in our area here, we have a world champion, Dave Cloud of Cloud Racing, that has developed the technology, and his brother, Steve Cloud, which sells electric car parts out in the Kent area, will sell you all the equipment you need to build one and to compete. Dave also holds the Guinness Book of World Records in electric-powered hydroplane at a little less than 80 miles an hour.
Ooh.
So this guy's a pretty creative fellow, and he single-handedly, I think, converted, close to 20 vehicles to pure electric, and that's where the club comes in. It's really hard, going back to one of your original questions, to walk into a showroom and buy a freeway-capable electric vehicle. The only really new vehicles that you can buy that are pure electric are what we call, or what the federal government calls, neighborhood electric vehicles. They're fine. They're more or less legal golf carts. They are not supposed to go over 25 miles an hour, although some of the owners I know have already tweaked with the speed controls. But and they have legal lights, seat belts, windshield wipers, etc. And we have a really fine dealership right here in Seattle, MC Electric Cars on Dearborn Street, that can purvey you to one of those. But really, if you need freeway capability, the only thing you can really do is to buy a good used electric car that's already been built, or have a small car of your own converted. And it's rather simple. It's simpler than one would think. There's about roughly, let's say, $8,000 to $9,000 worth of hard parts, and about $200 to $2,500 in pure labor if you yourself don't want to get your hands dirty. And when you get done, you'll have a freeway-capable two- or four-passenger car or a small pickup that'll do 60, 65 miles an hour and give you 30, 40, maybe 50 miles of range between charges. And the charging is probably the simplest thing and the cheapest thing. You come home, you plug it in, it takes 15 seconds. You wake up in the morning, you unplug it, that takes 15 seconds. If you did that every day, 6 days a week, and added up all your plugging and unplugging time, mm-hmm. it sure as heck be still less time than you spend at a gas station.
You know, I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong here, but my mind is starting to go to history, and I think where we find out what has been right and what has been wrong over time.
Right.
Our media, that medium that we're on right now, radio, actually grew in the 1920s because people embraced the idea. They were excited by the idea, and they literally built their own radio transmitters
right.
in their own garages.
Well, that's where ham radio came right. from. Yeah.
And there was a lot of radio going on before mm-hmm. commercial radio even started. Same thing with computers. People have done the same thing with computers. They build their own computers at home to get exactly what it is they want. Nobody thinks that's crazy. So the idea of building your own electric car isn't so far out there in la-la land, is it?
No, it's really not. And there are probably several dozen cars here in the Seattle area that buzzing around every day. That I've built one myself, and I'm not an engineer. I just took a look at the vehicles that were already built, said, well, I think 20 of those big deep cycle batteries will do it. That's 120 volts. And this common motor over here, we got it from California. That'll last forever. The motors never wear out.
Mm-hmm.
Bolted it to the Volkswagen transaxle of this car I had. Put a few meters in there, a battery charger, and away I went. I had the car for 10 years.
Any trouble getting it licensed? I mean, do you have to take it down to the DOT and their engineers look it over?
It was already licensed, and all you're really doing is changing the, like, from gas to propane, or from propane to electric, or from electric to diesel, or from diesel to biodiesel, which is a good idea, too.
And the Department of Licensing doesn't care, do they?
No.
Not one iota of what's powering the vehicle. They just want to make sure it's road safe.
No.
Our guest this morning is Steve Lowe. He's with the Seattle Electric Vehicle Association. How have you been received by the media? How are they treating you?
It kind of it ebbs and flows with the price of gas, and this is and so I'm booked up till next month. No,
I have to talk to your agent about double scale.
No, but it does. But the only bad thing I've seen over the years, and they have helped us out. But, like, there'll be a TV spot, and just before they sign off and go to the sports page, they'll make some little quip like, well, I wonder how long the cord is, or, boy, I'd hate to run out of juice on the 520 in a rainstorm, or some little, just a little dig at the end, mm-hmm. you know, putting a little mm-hmm. negative spin on it. And really, if you look at one of these cars, the energy it takes to drive the wipers, the heater motor, the radio, the lights is nothing. It's about 400 or 500 watts, about mm-hmm. the same as 400 or 500 watt light bulbs. To drive the car down the freeway at 70 miles an hour, that's 50,000 watts. Mm-hmm. So about the power of KIXI, or maybe close.
Sure.
So relative to those things we worry about, like, oh, my God, are the wipers going to stop working? That's not an issue. You know, it's just not part of the problem.
What's your biggest challenge? What's the biggest obstacle you think you have to overcome in the mind of the public to make electric cars a viable option in the marketplace?
I guess it's this... in their thinking that, oh, golly, if it can only go 30 or 40 or 50 miles a day, what use is that going to be to me personally? So it's a mindset. It's not the car at all. Yet, if you ask them to sit down for just 2 weeks, Mrs. Average House Owner, write down how many miles you travel every day, they would see in a heartbeat that they could use one. Matter of fact, if I had a magic wand, I'd put 100,000 of them in Seattle, and I bet you that after a week, 99,950 of them, they'd want to keep them. They'd want to keep them and use them. But, you know, it's You know, it's kind of like, which comes first, the chicken or the egg? I mean, it'd be wonderful to have General Motors building electric cars, and that, boy, that's a sore subject. They built the nicest electric car the world has ever seen.
Yeah, tell me about that, because was it the EV1 or something like that?
Right, and before that, the predecessor was called the Impact, and they made jokes about that on late-night television, but some friends of mine, Alan Cocconi and AC Propulsion, Inc., down in Southern California, developed the drivetrains for General Motors, and it was a hot car. I'm talking about 0 to 60 in under 7 seconds. And so then they went into production. They leased them only, which was, I think, a mistake. They gave one to Jay Leno one day to test it out. He said, I love it. I'll add one of these to my collection. Mm-hmm. If I had been General Motors, I would have given him the car. No, they said, Mr. Leno, we're only leasing them. I'm sorry, we're only leasing them. Well, guess what? The leases are now coming to an end, and they've collected all these cars, and they're crushing them out in the desert.
What?
And there have been protests. People have laid down in front of the transport trucks saying, you can't take my EV1 away. I love it. And the same thing happened with Ford. Ford made several thousand electric Ranger pickups. Now, this is a really strange thing.
Yeah.
They had a similar protest in California. This is less than 2 months ago. A bunch of Ford EV truck owners got a protest going in front of a Ford dealership. And by God, Ford backed down, said, okay, you can keep them. You can buy them at the end of the lease. And I don't know why General Motors played such hardball, but that was one fine electric car. I got to drive that, and boy, oh boy. You talk to anybody that ever owned one, and they just are alligator tears when they had to give it back.
There's a website, by the way, about the crushing issue.
Right.
That's don't crush.com.
Yeah, don't crush.com.
Right.
That's about Toyota's trying to do the same thing. There's several hundred, if you remember the early RAV4 electric or RAV4 SUVs, the little small ones.
Sure, yeah.
Well, they made a fleet of them electric only in California and some in Arizona, and they sold some of them. But they leased most of them. And so Toyota's trying to do the same thing that General Motors did. Take them back and get rid of them. And go on to their hybrid idea or hydrogen fuel cells. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, I did. I caught that. And there was a follow-up question in order. hydrogen fuel cells. You can go ahead and embellish on that.
Well, not to jump around too much, but follow us if you can here, folks. For one thing, a fuel cell car is an electric car. It's just making the electricity as you go along.
Mm-hmm.
Now, follow me here in 50 words or less.
Mm-hmm.
When you start out with a dollar's worth of electricity, you got to make the hydrogen. You can't mine hydrogen. Hydrogen is all around us, but you got to make it. So it's just a carrier of energy, not of energy itself. So one way is to electrolyze water by running electricity through water. Hydrogen goes one way and oxygen goes the other. Okay, so after the electrolyzation, we get about 50 cents worth of hydrogen. That's the best they can do right now. So then you got to take the hydrogen, take it to the Texaco station, the Shell station, sell it to you and your new $70,000 fuel cell General Motors car, right?
Right.
You stuff it in your tank. Well, guess what? Now we got to turn the hydrogen back into electricity, just the reverse. This is done through a fuel cell by taking oxygen out of the air and hydrogen from Texaco. You blend them together. You get electricity and water. So it's a purely clean car. I don't have any argument there. But you know what? How much you get at the wheels? Another 25 cents. So you've lost 75 cents of your original dollar. Now let's take the same scenario in a battery-powered electric vehicle that I built in my driveway. I buy a dollar's worth of electricity from City Light. The chargers aren't perfect. The motor isn't perfect, although very, very close. And I get 80 cents at the wheels. I only lose about 20 cents. So comparing an electric vehicle, a battery electric vehicle, to a hydrogen fuel cell electric vehicle is about a 3-to-1 deal.
You're good. You're a teacher or something?
Yeah, I have been. I taught radio for the for the Army.
I guess so. I guess. Well, while we're bouncing around about different kinds of cars, what about natural gas? What about those?
I like that. I like natural gas, and I also like biodiesel, and I don't think there's too much wrong with ethanol, except some of the conferences I've gone to, when you study the amount of energy and farm equipment and plowing the fields and making the corn into alcohol, ethanol isn't a win situation.
You know, Willie Nelson's tour bus runs on ethanol. He's just made a statement out of that. He won't run it off anything other than soybeans.
It's a good thing, but it's what do they call it? This conference I was just at City Hall last week, Seattle Electric Vehicle to Grid, which is another whole subject. I don't know if we have time to get into that. But anyway, they were talking about it's like from an oil well to wheels. You have to study the whole chain to make a real educated opinion about whether this thing is good or not.
Okay.
Now, there is one place on Earth that I think hydrogen and hydrogen fuel cell cars might work out, but it's up in Iceland. They're using the geothermal heat, you know, all the geysers and stuff, right outside the town to make the hydrogen. So making of the hydrogen isn't that $1 in, 50 cents out. I mean, it's almost $1 in, 95 cents out, because the energy to make it's
naturally occurring.
And it's almost free. It's almost free.
Yeah. Kind of like putting Old Faithful to work.
Exactly. So up there, they're thinking about going to a hydrogen economy, and I don't think it's a bad idea, but down here, where we got to make it using electric power, we're losing. We might as well put the electric power right into the batteries and go. Boy, I was talking to a friend down in California last week. He's got the word on the new Prius, and I know that the Toyota Prius is one of the hottest cars on the market right now. Mm-hmm. The waiting list is
forever.
Right? Yeah. They get good mileage, 40, 45 miles per gallon. They start out electric. You know, when you start out from a light with a Prius, you start out with electric drive, and, and the engine kicks on when you floorboard it. Well, these guys down there, these acquaintances of mine, have taken one of these brand new Priuses and done three very important things to it. Number one, they found a place to put a few more batteries, maybe almost double the batteries. Hmm. And they're using the new lithium-ion batteries, which are really, really sock full of energy. Anybody that has a cell phone or a laptop today knows how good lithium batteries are. Second thing they did is they screwed with the software a little bit. So that instead of if you got a brand new Prius out there, you folks that have Priuses, you know, you can really feather your throttle and maybe sneak up on 30, 35 miles an hour before the gas engine kicks on. Well, they've tweaked with that, so it'll maybe get up to 35 or 40 miles an hour before the gas engine kicks on. But the third and most important thing they've done, they've put a plug. I mean, Toyota makes this big thing about, and you don't have to plug it in. Well, if you could plug it in, guess what happens? About 75% of all your driving around town ends up being pure electric. And you know what that does to your weekly mileage? Guess what these guys are getting on this car? 100 to 120 miles per gallon, because the gas engine is only coming on occasionally.
Because they can plug it in.
Because they can plug it in. And for every hour they're plugged in, for every dollar's worth of power you're putting into your batteries,
you're getting 80 cents back.
Right.
To the wheels. You know, I go to the gas stations. Every time I see someone with a Prius, you know, I put the nozzle on, you know, autopilot, and I walk over and I ask them. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's good. They can't stop talking. They can't, I went to a party for a beloved family member not long ago, and we all were giving her toasts. Mm-hmm. It was her birthday retirement party. Her kid, in her toast, talked about
I know, it's almost like a cult. Hey, out where I live above University Village, there are three of them within one block.
Oh, man. Now, one thing I hear at the gas station, though, from people who own them, and this I'm not sure on, if either they, you know, have told me and I just didn't remember it well, but they have to get new batteries after about 50,000 miles?
No, I think there are some of them are logged up close to 100,000. And the price tag I've heard, that's one thing that the auto industry has kind of skewed. I mean, I remember hearing stories, if you have an electric car and you have to replace the batteries, it'll be a $20,000 affair. Mm-hmm. Well, that just ain't true. I'm sorry. I replaced the batteries in my electric car three times in the 11 years I had the car, and it was about $1,100 each time for 20. Now, mind you, the batteries in a Toyota Prius are a little higher technology. I believe they're using metal nickel hydride batteries, but it's not going to be that bad, especially as more and more of these are on the road. These factories that make these batteries, they'll start ramping up production, and the price goes down, just like computers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Our guest this morning is Steve Lowe. He's with the Seattle Electric Vehicle Association, which seems to me, Steve, to be the place to start if you're really serious about making an electric car or truck a part of your life. It seems to me that's where you go. You don't go to the Heath Kit.
No.
You don't end up at Radio Shack.
No, although there's a few things there that you could probably pick up that would be helpful.
You could, because you're good at it. So what would someone get out of, advancing the cause for themselves on an electric vehicle?
Well, I think if you're trying to do it to save a buck, it's a push. Because the efficiency of an electric vehicle is fantastic. You know, it's five times more efficient than a modern gas car. That goes without saying. But still, the only kind of batteries that we can afford today are, you know, the deep cycle lead acid batteries. And and you just heard me say that in 11 years I had three sets.
Right.
So you have to figure that into the overall operating cost of a vehicle. So one might get 3 to 5 years out of a set of batteries, and you've got to figure that into your cost. And when it's all said and done, it's going to be real close. But in the meantime, I think you would be advancing the cause. I mean, I hate to use spiritually, but I guess that's a word that's used a lot these days, so I will use it. I mean, you would be advancing the cause by being an example. I know those three Toyota Priuses in my neighborhood, within a block. Part of the reason they're there is they remember seeing an electric car in my driveway over the last 20 years. And they figured, well, geez, a neighbor had one 20 years ago. It must not be that bad of an idea. So it's by example. Speaking of examples, I don't want to forget that we are going into the Den of Iniquity on Saturday the 25th. The biggest hot rod, custom cars, muscle car show in the Pacific Northwest. And this is a plug for the Finney Ridge and Greenwood Hot Rod Custom Car Show.
It's a great show.
Yeah, it is. And I've never had a bad weather. There's tens of thousands of people. And in the middle, right around 82nd Street, they tell me, is going to be a whole bunch of electric cars. And we're going to have some. We're going to have that video playing of that.
Okay, great. Of the electric car blowing the Viper on.
Right. Yeah. We're just going to have that playing over and over and over and over again. we had my very very good friend John Whalen from the Portland Club has one of the fastest little Datsun 1200s you'd ever see. It's turning over 100 miles an hour in a quarter mile now too, highly modified obviously, but just a battery powered Datsun. And we had a tape of him when he was up here last year, and you should see the crowd of these guys. They're saying, holy moly, I can't believe that, you know? And the torque and power of an electric motor is there now. You know, it's not wait till it revs up to 3,000 or 4,000 RPM. And that's what's kind of exciting about driving an electric car.
Yeah. I hate this. Steve, we only have a minute or two left.
Ah!
Now, I have to ask you a question. You can be honest with me.
Okay.
It's okay, because this happens. This happens occasionally. I prepared 32 questions to ask you. I think I got to maybe 10 of the questions that I had prepared to ask you. That's not important from my standpoint. What's important is from your standpoint is, you know, you got to go now, and when you get on the elevator, are you going to think that you were able to talk about all the things you wanted to talk about or could have talked about?
I hope so. I mean, politically, electric power is something that we have to start thinking about from a geopolitical standpoint. 20 years ago, I was preaching that, hey, what's going to happen when all those folks in India and China start to want to have a car in their garage, too, and a chicken in every pot? Well, guess what, folks? We're there now, and that's why you're paying $2.60 a gallon, is that demand over there is catching up. And what it's doing to the atmosphere, some people still will debate it, but if you take core samples of the ice and look at the amount of carbon dioxide over the last 1,000 years, the jump that's happened in the last 50 is kind of hard to ignore. And it's partly due to personal transportation. And so you know what's happening? There's a strange set of bedfellows. You know, what is the old saying, war makes strange bedfellows?
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? Here are these, and I'll use the term lovingly, tree huggers, meeting with ultra-right-wing groups that are interested in the geopolitics of oil and the safety of our country and oil things to do with energy. They're getting together and they're saying, you know, that idea of the plug-in hybrids, or maybe even better yet, pure electrics, that's a dang good idea.
That's why I got to have you back. Can you come back?
Sure.
Okay, because we're just getting started. I mean, we're just scratching the surface, and we're out of time. Our guest is Steve Lowe. He's from the Seattle Electric Vehicle Association. You can find him at www.seva.org.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks to our producer, of course, Gary Scheip, who makes these conversations possible. Thanks also to you for listening and considering what you hear here. My name is Jim Campman, and we'll see you again next week.